Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Resilient Vet Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about culture, such an important topic for everybody in practice or any other workplace out there, and how individual well-being impacts the entire team. So if you've ever thought about how amazing it would be to work at a place that you thought had great culture, or if you've worked at a place that maybe had some really good culture, but deep down you just knew it could be better, then you definitely want to listen to this episode all the way to the end. We all know that burnout is a huge issue in veterinary medicine, but I don't know if you realized that on top of many factors, practice and workplace culture plays a huge role in impacting how quickly people reach that level that they refer to as burnout. I'm Dr. Jennifer Edwards, veterinarian turned leadership and energy coach, and I am here today to help you learn more about culture in the Resilient Vet podcast. You can find me at my website, drjenniferedwards.com, and that's doctor with a DR. And please feel free to download my free ebook on cultivating more happiness and joy in your life.
And my name is Aaron Shaw. I am the co-host with Jennifer, and thank you for joining us. I'm an occupational therapist, health span expert, and founder of the VetSpan Collective, which is a free resource, free online community with resources for people like you and me who want to be more resilient in the vet space. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about today. And I think culture is a great topic. And I think culture is something that can really support us. Or if you're not in a really good culture, I think sometimes it can kind of weigh us down or perhaps kind of slow us from achieving our true potential. And so I'm super excited to hear Jennifer's perspective on this. This is her forte. And I think that maybe the best way to start this conversation is really kind of defining what is culture? What does that mean? I think we know inherently we've been in places that I hear the word sometimes toxic workplace. And I think that that's probably meaning the culture, the vibe of maybe more than just one individual. But what is culture? What does that mean, Ed?
The thing with a term like culture is that there really is no one definition. Right? Like, I'm sure if we looked it up in the dictionary, it would say something. But if you were to line up 50 different people and ask them what workplace culture means to them, you would probably get similar but different answers. And part of that is because different people experience things in different ways, and we focus on different things based on what's important to us and our values. And so for me, when I think about culture, it is just that. It's an experience. So every day when people, you know, members of a team, even clients, customers in certain types of businesses walk into a workplace, what is their experience, right? So what do they sense? What is the energy that they're feeling? What are they hearing? What are they experiencing, perceiving? What are they doing? In what manner are the people around them functioning? You know, and that comes down to whether people are positive or negative and how they stand, how they walk, how efficient things are, how inclusive. So there's many different factors that go into creating a culture, but ultimately at the end of the day, the culture itself is just an experience. Now, the important thing for me that I think is so important for people to understand is that culture is not a static thing, right? You don't have leaders going onto Amazon and ordering up a culture. Oh, I want a better culture for my hospital. And here it comes and they sprinkle it over the building and there you have it. You know, it doesn't work that way. If only it did, it would make life a lot easier. So culture is literally recreated every single day by the people who show up there, the leaders, in veterinary medicine, the management, the doctors, the rest of the team. and in a lot of cases, offsite management when it comes to cultural, when it comes to corporate culture. So every single day, culture is recreated by the people who show up there. So the good news is that that means that every day is an opportunity for it to be different than it was the day before.
So do you think that in a clinic, a couple of doctors, a couple of techs, a couple of support staff, that the culture is supposed to be dictated in a hierarchy? Is it the bosses come in and they define the culture? Can it be defined perhaps at a tech level, at a associate level? Like, is there, like, who should, or maybe even, I don't know if should or shouldn't is the right question, but who can influence the culture?
So there's a yes and a no. a both and is my answer to that. Every single person in a practice or any other workplace contributes to the culture. However, there are certain individuals who have a bigger influence over what that culture is. So people who are in leadership positions, who make policies, who come in and set the tone, the pace for how things are going to go, the people making in a veterinary hospital, the doctors who are making the medical decisions are going to have a bigger influence on the experience of that day. However, every single person, kennel person to, you know, chief of staff and everybody in between contributes, because we're all players. We're all people. We're all interacting. And we all know that you can have doctors and management who are even all in a great mood and they're trying to do good and, you know, everybody's happy and gung-ho. And then you can even have support staff that are just grumpy and complaining and, you know, talking about people behind their back. It trickles up just as it trickles down, because what can happen in those situations is management and leadership can give up or feel helpless in their ability to influence culture. So it's important for no one to really negate their power in influencing culture, both in a positive way and in a negative way.
Yeah, that's good to know. I can think back. So I'm not a veterinarian, right? So I'm an occupational therapist. I've spent a lot of time, my whole career, in clinics and trauma hospitals. I can think to one specific trauma center that I worked in for a decade or so, and super busy, high stress, people that have had really bad injuries, orthopedic floor, and there's a cast room that's like the heart of this busy. There's physical therapy and occupational therapy and a bunch of specialists and orthopedic docs. In the middle is a cast room, and it can be pretty intense in there. People are getting casts taken off for the first time and seeing pretty horrific injuries sometimes. And there was one cast technician, I suppose, who was like the heart and soul of that room. It was a pretty big room. And if you could take, and I think of her as somebody who certainly didn't have any influence over decision-making, from a service standpoint per se, but the culture of that space was super positive all the time, safe place, fun place. And even if you would see her walking down the hall, out of her little world, she would give you a high five, and she could say things to the docs that like nobody would ever feel like they could possibly say, because she was just so positive and had like this super vibe around her.
Yeah.
And so in my experience, I think that there's something to be said for, leadership, lead by example. And if somebody is in a place where the culture perhaps doesn't or feels like it could be improved upon, whatever that means, just because you're not writing the checks at the end of the week does not mean that you can't influence that and have sometimes like an outsized impact with your contribution of the culture.
I 100% agree with that. And I'm going to give a little tiny challenge right now to people listening, because I promise you there's a certain percentage of people who just heard that story and thought, wow, that's amazing that there are people like that out there. Or they remembered somebody that they had worked with once or experienced in a restaurant that was like that. and that it's those people. So my challenge to every single person listening right now would be to ask the question in your mind, why can't that be me? Because it can be you. It doesn't matter who you are. That woman in the cast room, who she was, is a person that every one of us has the potential to be in every place we are every single day, if we choose that.
Yeah, I think it's a, we are the culture. And as you said earlier, I think that each one of us as individuals, we are the culture. And I heard the analogy to traffic. I think we always, you know, I'm stuck in traffic. And really what it is like, if you're stuck in traffic, you are traffic. You are the traffic.
Right.
You're not in it. It's like, you are it. And so it's like the culture of my workplace. Well, if it's your workplace, you are part of the culture.
Yes.
And you can therefore influence it. I mean, you can't necessarily like undo a traffic jam or, you know, if something's really toxic, right. But you can't totally disregard your impact or influence, perhaps.
Right. And what's so funny is that when people are very focused on everybody else around them, and if things are not happy, perhaps blaming, complaining, you know, about the way things are. And it's so important, like you said, to recognize that you're that for somebody else. And so, and even in the midst of other people complaining and doing all of those things, you can be different, right? So you could be in a traffic jam for your analogy, and there could be like people grumpy and slamming on their horns and flipping people the bird and like doing all those things. And then everybody's like, ah, this is awful. And then all of a sudden, like some guy rolls up with like, you know, music blasting and he's got his windows open and he's like, woo, woo. And everybody's like, look at that guy. Next thing you know, like everybody's like, right? Like you could, it almost seems like a scene out of a movie. Everybody gets out of their car and starts dancing, right? Like obviously we're probably not going to do that, but that's just an extreme example of what one individual has the power to create literally in any situation, even when it doesn't seem like that's the case.
I can think too about how there are events. So think of, you know, some clinics are really big on supporting the local sports team, for example. And so, you know, you can, you know, wear your favorite sports jersey because, you know, football game's on, you know, over the weekend. And it can change the vibe. Like it's a little playful, or if it's like Halloween or Christmas or whatever, you know, different holidays, people can kind of like, it's still the same place. It's still the same building, still the same busy clinic, but there's something that, you know, you can palpate, like it's different. It's a little bit more positive, a little bit more upbeat. And that is, again, it's like, to go back to the traffic jam analogy, it's like, you're still kind of in the traffic jam. I mean, the vet medicine is still the same. They're still sick and injured clients coming in that are under duress, but there's, you can kind of turn it on a little bit, you know, when the time is right and kind of raise the spirit, I suppose, of things. And then all of a sudden in that moment, you may be able to say, oh, the culture today was pretty cool because we had a little, you know, we had a little potluck lunch and we were all kind of getting ready for, you know, big game day or some event or some holiday. And then that exact same place, you know, and it, you know, changed the day. It's like, oh, this place is really terrible and negative. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. People chose to behave and react and be, you know, do something in an intentional way on both of those events, both of those days. So you do have impact, control, some control.
Yeah. And what you just said brings two things to mind, based on a lot of the work that I do with clients and teams, is when we look at energy, right? So what you just described as a different culture on a different day, based on something like wear your favorite team jersey, is what can be described as a shift in energy. So there's different levels of energy that we all experience every single day, and individually, but teams also have a collective energy. And when we do things to raise the energy level, and for most people, think about it as like somebody you know who has positive energy and somebody who has negative energy. Well, think about that divided up into several more subcategories. So what can happen is that when you bring an element such as playfulness into a scene, into an environment, play has a much higher resonance of energy than does something like complaining or stress or overwhelm. And so by saying every Friday, wear a silly scrub top, or, you know, before the local city's team plays, wear your jersey, or whatever it is that you bring an element of play in, that, and there's many things that can be brought in, not just play, that has a tremendous impact on the overall energy. The energy is the vibe people get when they walk in the door. So, you know, I've been to businesses where I walk in and I'm like, there's just something about this restaurant. Like, everybody's just happy. This is cool. I've always got good service. Like, I just feel good when I'm here. And I can't necessarily say why, but that's the collective energy of the team. And earlier we were talking about the hierarchy of the influence on culture. And I mentioned that leaders, while they're not the only influence, have perhaps a bigger influence. And that ties in also with this concept, because that's where we start to look at values. And we'll probably do another episode on values, so I'm not going to get into this here in a lot of detail. But when we don't, I'm not talking values that, like, you write down because they sound good and you put them on a wall. I'm talking about the true values that are dictating how a practice is being run. When those values are things like play and support and things that bring up energy, then that's what becomes embodied and that's what people experience. And so then people are, you know, they walk into an exam room with a silly pattern all over their scrub top and the client's like, oh my gosh, I love your scrub top. And they're like, oh, thanks. And there's like giggling going on for no other reason than they brought play to their clothing. So I love your examples. I think they're spot on for multiple reasons.
So if you were to go into a place that had, other than saying like a poor culture or a stressful culture, I'm not sure like how descriptive these are, and they said, help us. Hmm. Like there's some negative vibes, and I could see even, you know, I think if we, is the language of it or learning the correct words is its own thing, which is not, you know, other than it doesn't feel right, or the vibe isn't right, or some negativity, and maybe pointing out so-and-so is kind of a negative person. And if a clinic were to reach out to you and say, hey, like, we need a little shift here. This is, you know, bringing everybody down. Like, what are some practical things that a, you know, practice manager or an owner, or, you know, what could they do? Like, what are some tools that they could literally say, okay, let's start implementing this?
Yeah, well, as a big picture strategy, not like an instant impact sort of a thing, I would say to, if they've tried things, and a lot of times, especially when I'm talking to people, the leaders are resigned to them, and justifiably so, but from in their truth is, quote, you know, I've tried everything. No matter what I do, I just can't get my team to fill in the blank. Or they always just, it's hopeless. There's no point, blah, 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 right? And I remember being in that position when I owned my practice, and that experience is very real. And so the reason it's beneficial to get help is because usually what's the undercurrent of all of these issues is what is not visible to the people who are trying to enact change. And so they try this and try that, but since they're not really getting at the true causes and the issues, they end up with results that are a different version of the same thing. So then they get resigned and they give up and throw up their hands, and it's like, no matter what, blah, 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 this is going to happen. So first is, if somebody is truly committed to shifting culture and there's some issues and they've tried some things and it hasn't worked, than to get help from somebody who can help them to see things differently. In the short term, I would say the two things that first come to mind of something that a manager can start doing today or tomorrow, depending on what time of day they're listening to this, is to let go of being right and to start listening. And to remember that letting go of being right does not mean that you're wrong. And it does not mean saying that you're wrong. But as long as we are in the position where we are going to be, quote, right about things, where I just know how it's going to go, or they just won't, or let go of all of that and start to truly listen to people on your team from a place of curiosity, not from a place of judgment of them, self, or anybody else, and hear what they have to say. And just hold space for that. It doesn't mean what they're saying is right, what it's wrong. You have to agree, disagree. It's the truth. It's not the truth. None of that is even relevant here. So start to truly listen, because until you really know what is going on that you're not aware of, even in your own behavior, you're never going to get anywhere. And the second thing that comes to mind of, again, tomorrow, usually people can start to make shifts here, is to start to model the behavior that you want to see in others. And the reason I said usually is because, again, as a leadership coach, I'm often helping people to create these shifts, because let's just say if we knew how to change, we would have done it already. And the way our minds are designed is so that we cannot easily see ourselves. We cannot easily see how we are landing and showing up for other people despite our best intentions. So whatever a person is aware of in themselves, and it's very variable for different people, to start to model and, as the famous quote, be the change you want to see in the world, right? And Gandhi said that. And so when we start being open, when we start listening, when we stop complaining, when we stop closing the door and whispering about people, when we keep calm and remain relaxed, when we're supportive and all of those things, then and only then are people going to mimic it, but then also people will start to trust us and believe. Because if management, leadership, whoever is at the quote top of the pyramid is saying one thing but doing another, and it's just lip service, people see through that in about 0.2 seconds, and then they lose all trust, and you have to earn that back. So those would be the two things I would say to start, like right now. But serious transformation of a workplace culture that's not going well often does take some outside assistance.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that. I think that it's from all leadership levels and experience, it's, and being a leader is tough. It's hard. And getting stuck in a rut and having maybe not the bandwidth to attend to things that we know is there. And I've started a human physical therapy and rehab and performance practice. So I've had employees and staff of, you know, various levels and degrees and assistants and whatnot. And there were times in my practice that I could recognize that, you know, there's kind of the vibe, like something's off. And there were certain individuals that I needed to kind of coach and kind of, I think you said the example of, you know, going behind closed doors and maybe gossiping or chatting. And, you know, these things that kind of make other people maybe a little bit more uncomfortable. And so then the culture starts to shift like that. And in hindsight, I should have addressed things sooner on some occasions than I did. And I could recognize there was a problem. I didn't really have the skill set to know, like, okay, how do I do this? And it's fragile. Like, how am I, you know, if I lose a staff person, there's an impact to everybody. And so how much do we tolerate? So it's not an enviable place to be in as a leader. It's super stressful. But I think that one of the most powerful things a leader can do is verbalize and acknowledge to the team with, you know, no finger pointing, but just other saying, like, hey, everybody seems pretty stressed out. There's some negativity in here, and I really want to spend the next 6 months really working on this and maybe bringing in somebody to kind of help us do this and help us navigate this, because I want us all to have a long, fruitful career, to extend our vet span, our longevity, our health, and to take care of the clients that are coming in. And when there seems to be like some, you know, challenging energy in the place, everybody's impacted. And so just sort of throwing it out there in a sense, like I'm acknowledging it. I'm not saying here's the solution. I'm not going to put a pretend bandaid on it. But I think sometimes doing that, you may get some allies, you know, maybe a sense of relief for some pet staff that are like, oh, finally, like this is, you know, I'm kind of encouraged perhaps that, you know, leadership or whoever this is acknowledging like, yeah, things need to kind of be a little bit more positive. And then at least maybe kind of gets people on the right path or the opportunity maybe to be on the right path.
Right. Like it's all one step at a time. And the important thing to understand too, is as we look at this, the leader is the person, whether it's the practice owner, or I should say leaders are the people who are able to have the biggest impact, right? Because they're the ones who are going to make a decision about a policy change. They're going to be the ones to make a decision about whether to hire a coach or a consultant or what's going to happen. So the leadership needs to take responsibility. That does not mean that it's their fault. And that's a really important differentiation because like you said, 100%, when I owned my practice, it was hard and it was lonely. And on top of all of, you know, cultural employee stuff, I still had all my own stressors. I was the doctor. I had to see the patients. I was a mother, right? Like everybody's navigating all of their own things on top of being a leader. However, by being in that position, I would offer that the moment somebody accepts that position, the moment somebody decides to open a practice or step into a medical directorship role or become a hospital manager or a chief tech, a surgical tech, or whatever they are, they, in my opinion, when they accept that position, they are also accepting taking responsibility for leadership. And with that comes walking the talk, but also getting the help and training that they need. Not everybody has leadership training. Most of us don't. I mean, gosh, when I opened my practice, I had nothing. I mean, I went to vet school. Like, what did I know? And I opened a practice like, oh, this is going to be great, right? And it was until it wasn't. Right. And but there is a taking of responsibility to get the support, get the resources. Like, yeah, I'll become head surgical tech. Like, I'm really flattered that you think I have that. So now what kind of training am I going to get for that? For leadership, not for how to, you know, clean the anesthesia machine, but like to actually be a leader of the surgical team. And when people are putting others into leadership positions, to me, that's also a responsibility that those senior leaders need to be giving those newer leaders the resources they need to be effective. Because the worst thing is to put somebody in leadership with zero training, zero tools, and even zero say in how anything goes. So you're tying their hands behind their back and then they fail miserably. They lose all self-confidence. Now they've alienated the people who used to be their friends, but now they were their supervisor. And it's just a mess. So it doesn't have to be that way, but there needs to be an owning of responsibility as a first step before anything is going to go anywhere in an upward direction.
Yeah. And I love talking to people about mentorship and even,
yes.
I think that the term sometimes people think like, oh, somebody must, you know, you have to be in a position for 30 years to mentor anybody and realize like, no, you don't need to be, you know, I mean, even just a little bit more experienced than somebody else, like you can be that role model and that sounding board and that, you know, like, let me give you the shortcuts and what, you know, we could all go back in time, you know, if I knew then what I know now, like, oh, let me do that over again. This will be way better this time around. Or you can mentor somebody and say, hey, welcome to the team. Or, you know, let me give you some shortcuts here so you are more successful. That ultimately that will have, you know, that's kind of like a one-to-one communication and relationships. But it certainly impacts the culture of the whole place, especially if there's an opportunity for a lot of those leadership and teaching and accountability and brainstorming. And even that in itself, like, that's a positive vibe. It's like, hey, I don't know all the answers. Let's work on this together. Like, that's kind of a cool culture, you know? Like,
yep.
That's a piece of it. So I think it's such a great opportunity to, and some of those things, it sounds like, are kind of hidden in plain sight. I just need to,
people
need to kind of decide to take a couple of actions.
And for me, when I also think about culture, the things that come to my mind, all of which were for people who desire, are completely learnable. Things like communication, collaboration, understanding and living into values, understanding the why of the business, the why of the team, you know, kindness, empathy, all of those skills, those soft skills are completely learnable, teachable in ways that it's not like a cute little lecture and people take their little notes and go back and it's gone the next day. But starting to learn these things in a way that starts to shift people and change who they are and how they show up and who they want to be, not just at work, but like who do you want to be in the world, right? Who do you want to be for your family? How we do one thing is how we do everything. And I can tell you right now, if you're not so nice at work, you're probably not so nice in other areas. And so when we can start to, I don't care who you are, we're all humans and we all have room for growth and for development, but it impacts every area of our life. So imagine if you can get those types of things at work and then bring it home to your family, to your friends, or to your volunteer organization or whatever. It's just a win-win-win all the way around. And, and then talk about the business side of it on top of it. You have a great culture. You treat people. It's a safe space. You're going to get the good employees. They're going to stay. They're going to be loyal. They're going to take the time and effort to talk and explain to the client about the procedure. So the client says, yes, it's better for the patient, better for the business, better for the client. It just, there's no downside to it at all. The only downside is, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's about being able to give up being right about everything. And if people can just let go of that and be open, the world is their oyster and possibilities are endless. They really are.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of thinking of those skills are, to influence culture, are learnable. They're skills. We can teach them, we can learn them, we can practice them, we can fine tune them. And I would say if anybody has the skill set to be, you know, in the back of a practice, practicing vet medicine, whatever role you are, if you have the skills to do that, you have the skills to improve the culture as well. And you have the skills. Yes. It's different for sure. I mean, some of us, we learn different ways, we have different strengths, but you have the skills. And the people around you have the skills. It's just a matter of deciding and, of course, getting the guidance to do those. And so I say, let's, with that in mind, what would you say, let's summarize a couple of key takeaways. So if you were to summarize a couple of key takeaways, somebody's listening to this and wants to, no matter where their culture is, either, you know, improve it or sustain it, even if it's pretty good, like, I want to take it to the next level. Like, I want this place to be rocking. I want to feel good. I want to, and maybe even bring up other colleagues who are maybe having a hard struggle. Like, what are some takeaways, some key tips that we can leave people with?
So I would say, number one, regardless of your role, but especially for people in leadership roles, and even if things are great, is to just own responsibility for the impact you have on the culture. And with owning responsibility is choosing and then choosing and then choosing every day who you want to be, how you want to show up. And then I would say for people in leadership is really sitting down and figuring out, not I want a better culture, but what do you really want? What does that mean specifically? Like, you know, better culture isn't really a thing in air quotes. Specifically, what do you want the day-to-day experience inside of your business to be? Where is it now? Where do you want it to be? And what's the gap in between? And then figure out what or whom do I need to implement to get there? And the last two thoughts would be to remember that you are somebody else's culture. Culture is recreated every moment of every day. The culture in the morning isn't necessarily the same as the culture in the afternoon. Now, culture that is the same day after day after day after day for years tends to be kind of a hard set. It is how it is, but it never is how it is. It's recreated every day. And so to remember, you have the power to recreate it in your own way. And lastly, I would also say for people to individually be responsible for their own experiences, right? If you are in a work environment that is really poor in the culture department, and you have tried or you do go try, and it's just you're being yelled at, you're being verbally abused or, you know, treated in ways that are not acceptable, or there are just no boundaries, then also take responsibility for the choices you're making in your life. Not every culture is a match for every person, and that's okay. We don't have to make them wrong, but if it's not working for you, then it also can sometimes be time to start to look at other choices you can make to enhance your experience of your life.
100% I agree with that. I think there's some, sadly, sometimes in points that there's times to move on. But I would say first apply yourself, of course. And I think going back to the silly analogy, which is when you're in traffic, you are the traffic. But if you're in a port, if you're in a culture that needs some improvement, then to say that the only way you could freely say that, oh, my culture, the culture of my practice is so negative and so bad, you better be going in there as like the ray of sunshine, or else you are actually part of that culture and you are influencing the clouds of that culture, because we are part of the culture. And so we, as you said, Jennifer, I mean, we all decide moment to moment how we're going to show up. And that doesn't mean everybody's giggling and doing cartwheels all day long, but I think that for the most part, most of us could put in, and I'll speak for myself, like I could certainly put in a little bit more effort on, you know, take pause, get out of my own head for a second, acknowledge people around me, be a little bit more positive. And if that were little, you know, 2 percentage points kind of spread around the clinic, that's a nice positive vibe, you know? And then it's really a virtuous cycle where it's like, oh, everybody's more positive. I'm going to be more positive too, you know? So it's the slope of negativity can, you know, be the slope up a hill and everybody's feeling more positive, but you have to own yourself.
Yeah. And it's that same ripple effect. So the ripple effect down, or the downward spiral, can also be a ripple effect up and an upward spiral. 100%. So the question isn't how do I show up every day and be perfect? It's not about that. Nobody's perfect. We're all human. We all have our days. We all have our moods, insecurities, all triggers, all of the things. So a great culture allows people their humanity, but to ask yourself every day, how can I be 5 to 10% more positive? How can I up level by 5 to 10% the impact I have on the people around me today? And that's it. If you were to ask yourself that every day, every single day, just 5 to 10%, that's it. Yeah. And so doable.
Do one thing.
Huge impact.
Well, that will help build your resilience, because if you're more positive and if you're in a more positive space and that's contagious, then you are probably literally extending your career, being happier. And that is what this podcast is all about, the Resilient Vet Podcast. So
absolutely.
We are super stoked to be here chatting on this stuff. Selfishly, it's interesting to us. We learn, and I think as we've said on so many podcasts, are part of the conversations we need to hit record sooner because we're so excited about these topics because we just sort of ramble on with them. But if you have any questions for us, please connect with us. Again, I'll share that you can find me at the VetSpan Collective. Link will be in the show notes. And feel free to join. It's a free community to join and to connect with Jennifer. What's the best way to do that?
Yes, you can find me on my website, drjenniferedwards.com, and on LinkedIn or other social platforms is at Dr. Jennifer Edwards. So definitely reach out with questions, and especially we would love to hear requests for topics.
Awesome. All right, till next time, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.